Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
Opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, let's spend 3 hours breaking down that All-Star game and All-Star weekend. How about it? Nah, let's have some fun. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Voldemort, Aaron Rabel behind the glass. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. If you didn't, sorry. Hopefully you'll have a better week this week. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports, stuff like that. What's going on with you?
The same. Dog chewed up another one of my cords here, apparently.
Are you serious?
Yeah, my little USB adapter.
You gotta control your bitch, if you know what I mean.
Well, she's so damn cute, though. It's kind of hard to...
Well, to hell with that. I don't care how cute you are. You start tearing stuff up, something's got to happen.
This is three chords now that she's...
P.S., whatever training you're doing that is failing miserably.
Oh, no, she's actually doing really well with, she's just a puppy. She's going to chew stuff, especially when she gets pissed off. But it's a puppy and a woman.
Yeah.
So how was your sports this weekend?
My sports this... Well, I mean, my kids' baseball team started the season. So I was out on the field, and by the way, it was super cold and crappy all weekend. As far as like sports that I watched some basketball, but I didn't watch any of the NBA All-Star stuff, and I watched no AAF or whatever it is.
I watched about a half a quarter of one of the games again to give it a second chance.
Still out?
No, sometimes goodbye is your second chance.
Oh, I watched the UFC too. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it, and there wasn't a whole lot to see with that. So I saw a couple things, but it was what it was. It was a slow, sporty weekend.
Yeah, I think I did watch UH basketball yesterday, even though it wasn't much.
I watched about 10 minutes of it and said, "Yep."
But I'm enjoying this team. They're fun to watch, and so that was pretty much my sports for the weekend. Really, wasn't much else going on. So, which is good.
I guess.
Well, I mean, gives me time to get caught up on movies.
What'd you get caught up on? I didn't even watch True Detective last night.
Yeah, I have not watched that yet.
So foolish. I wanted to, but then I was too tired.
This is what happens when you get important.
Well, it's not really important. I think it's just what happens when you get old.
Well, you pretty much doubled your workload around here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
And then I came in last night, recorded my podcast.
How'd that go?
Well, yeah, it's a good episode. I mean, you never really know how those, when you're doing a gambling podcast, you don't really know how it goes until later in the week.
Right.
So
right.
I like to think it went well, but not sure yet.
Okay. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I was just checking to see if it's up on SportsMap yet, because we're making sure we post those, but it's not up yet.
Okay.
So, which,
whose fault? Sure,
that's not my fault.
Who's the one?
I'm not calling anybody out, because...
Just do it, man.
No, my guys are really good.
Except today. I mean, if Aaron screwed up, you'd call him out.
Well, yeah.
So what's the big difference?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Well, I think, I don't know if you saw this, but your buddy Colin Kaepernick's lawyer thinks he's going to sign with the Panthers or the Patriots.
I saw that. I didn't know it was his lawyer. I just saw an unnamed source. You have audio from it? Let's hear it.
I'll make the bold prediction. You can save the tape. I think you're going to see within the next 2 weeks that somebody's going to step up. Somebody's going to do the right thing. You want me to predict too? I will tell you, besides the Panthers, it would not surprise me if Bob Kraft makes a move. That would not surprise me. And it would not surprise me if his former coach, I'll test your knowledge, also makes a move.
His former coach?
Was he going to recruit him to college?
Yeah, I don't know if he remembers that his former coach now coaches at Michigan.
Mm.
Does that count? Or
well, they might.
Can he make a move? Is there eligibility left? I'm not really sure how this works.
The Panthers would make some sense, because you don't know whether or not Cam Newton's going to be healthy. Apparently, that was a pretty bad injury, so it'd be
yeah.
And they've already proven that they don't mind signing a guy who is going to protest. Because they've got Eric Reed, so that one would make some sense. And the Patriots always make sense, because they just don't care. So,
well, I don't know. I feel like there's if Colin Kaepernick were going to still play in the NFL, it would have already happened.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too.
I mean, now what's it been, 3 years since he played?
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't like
he wasn't lighting the world on fire the last time we saw him. I mean, it's just whoever signs him is going to have to deal with a media circus, and not just a sports media circus. Like it's a news media circus, which is different.
Yeah, it takes it to the whole Fox News level and everything else.
Yeah, so like you can sign a controversial sports guy and – you know, it'll get talked about on sports radio and probably on ESPN. Whoever signs Colin Kaepernick is making national headlines.
Right.
And it will be hard to ignore the circus that comes along with that.
Yeah. And
the Patriots seem like the least likely to do such a thing. I mean, that's so non-Patriots to me.
I don't know. Belichick doesn't care. That's one of the few places where if you did it, you know, the people can ask questions all they want. He's just going to stonewall them. So it'll be a topic. He won't care.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing I like about that possibility is say, okay, everybody hates the Patriots anyway. This is perfect.
This is another thing. I mean, isn't Bob Kraft like a massive Trump supporter?
Yeah.
Do you really think of all the guys who are going to step out of line and bring in Colin Kaepernick, do you think it'll be Bob Kraft who's like buddies with President Trump?
He might be the only one who could, if you think about it.
Trump would lose his mind, I feel like. And I don't know.
I don't think he would go after... I don't think he'd go after Robert Kraft.
Maybe
That's
not.
Why it would make some sense. That's why when the Texans were struggling so much when Watson was out, Bob McNair would have made a lot of sense. He's the guy that could have gotten it done. He wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But he could have gotten it done. And, you know, I don't think you'd have the backlash from the president. It's a shame that that's what they're worried about.
Yeah.
Is that he's going to go after him on Twitter. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So I don't know if you saw this, but Wallet Hub did one of their studies of best and worst cities for football fans.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. And if I hadn't seen it, there would have been 400 people who tweeted it to me.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. So they basically went with fan engagement, stadium accessibility, which I think it's pretty easy to get to NRG. There's a lot of ways to do it, but all right. If you're going to rip them for that, that seems kind of strange to me. But
yeah.
Here are your least engaged fans by city. Number one, Los Angeles.
That's about right.
No shock there. Number two, New York City.
I disagree with that.
I would dispute that one, yeah. Number three, Jacksonville.
That's not shocking to me.
No.
I mean, they had their upper section covered with a tarp for most of their existence.
Honestly, I think they were number one.
That's a pretty bad NFL city.
Until LA came back, they were number one. Number four, Houston, Texas.
You know, I don't think of Houston as like a great NFL city, but I don't think of it as a bad one either. You know, I just think of it as there's just a team here.
Yeah.
And people go watch them. And, you know, I do believe if this team ever had some like tangible success that people would get really excited about it. But it's really hard to like do backflips over a team that's never won anything.
Right. And I still think, well, there's still some love for the Oilers here.
Which, by the way, Jacksonville may be in the same boat.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they have Chicago, number five.
I don't know about that either.
New York and Chicago do not belong on this list.
I agree.
And here's the reason I think they rank so high. The least accessible stadiums.
Chicago Stadium is really far away from everything else in Chicago. It's like, I say that. It's
not that bad.
It's far away from downtown Chicago, or like the part of Chicago where people go and visit. But so is the White Sox Stadium. I mean, it's just...
But for a football stadium, does that really matter?
It doesn't to me. I mean, the Texan Stadium's not, you know, necessarily right in the middle of things here.
Yeah, it's ranked fourth on the list. So New York 1, Chicago 2, LA 3, Houston 4, Philadelphia 5.
For stadium accessibility?
Yeah.
Well, what about, like, the Packers Stadium? I mean, that's in a whole different town. I mean, it's not even in a real city. That nobody's like, oh, yeah, it's easy to get to Lambeau or Foxborough. I mean, it's a pain in the ass to get to that stadium.
Well, for that matter, Dallas' stadium's not even in Dallas.
Not in Dallas.
Glendale.
Yeah.
Why isn't that on the list? To me, that's farther out than Houston.
So, I think it's more rare that a stadium is easily accessible to the city.
Well, yeah, because it's hard to get that many people crammed into a downtown area, especially a big downtown.
An exception is going to like where the Raiders are putting their new stadium in Vegas. It's right in the thick of things. I mean, it's walking distance from the Strip, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but they still have the cool thing is they have room there to build.
That's close
true. To the Strip too, even though that's been growing a lot. Over the years, there's still room to put one there. But yeah, if you were to drop a new stadium in Chicago, it'd have to be in the same spot probably. There's not much room to build out there. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And if you did some drinking this weekend, hopefully you took some cheers. And I'll tell you what, the stuff is fantastic. It used to be Thrive Plus, now it's named Cheers. Just change the branding. It's a supplement. It reduces the negative effects of alcohol and helps people who drink feel better the next day. I could not function in the mornings without Cheers. And I can tell you it works, but you don't have to trust me on this. It was developed by a team of five PhDs. Brooks and he's an Ivy League scientist. You probably saw him on Shark Tank last year. His crew, they're what you would call smarts, and they know what they're doing. Gives your liver exactly what it needs to process alcohol and its toxic byproducts before the pain sets in. All you have to do, take three capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. If you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, they're going to give you your money back. To order Cheers, just go to cheershealth.com. That's cheershealth.com. If you order before 4 o'clock any day, because they're based right here in Houston, they're going to put the product on your doorstep the next day. With Cheers, you're going to feel better when you wake up and your liver is going to thank you. I don't drink without Cheers, and neither should you. Cheershealth.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
It's ridiculous that it is always the air conditioner. No matter what the temperature is outside, the air conditioner is cranking in this place.
Well, when we first came in here, it was off and it was about 100 degrees. And then in like 2 minutes, it turns into freezing.
Like, I'm typically a warm-blooded creature.
Yeah.
I'm hot more often than I'm cold. But this office, I mean, it is an icebox more often than not. I don't understand it.
So, squeezing a call. Emmanuel, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, sports.
Sports guy. I have a question that's regarding the Texans offseason. Do you guys think it will be wise for the Texans to trade away Whitney Merciless and give that play time to Duke Ejiofor? Maybe for a second or a third round pick. I will hang up and let you guys talk.
I doubt you get a third round pick for
him. I don't think you will either. Not all coming off this season.
I think more likely you might wind up cutting him.
That's the most likely situation.
I'm actually writing something for Wednesday about how the Texans should basically go all in this offseason.
Boy, isn't it lucky? You remember last offseason they were talking about an extension for Whitney Merciless and how that was like a primary goal for them during this season. Thank God they didn't do that, right?
I thought they did.
No, I think he's still just signed through 2020. He may be an unrestricted.
No, he's under contract through
this year, right? This year's his last year.
Yeah, this is his last year.
Yeah.
So you could easily cut him.
Yeah. I thought they were they wanted to extend him, and they were like, I remember us talking about it. It was something about the here it is right here, this story. Whitney Merciless contract extension reportedly priority for Texans before season. This article was April of 2018. Ooh. So they ended up not getting it done. But it's the, and again, this story from April said he's still just 27 years old, has proven himself as a force along the defensive front when healthy. Tallied 12 sacks in 2015 and has at least 5 every season except for 2017. The idea of Merciless, Watt, and Clowney wreaking havoc against an AFC South offense for years to come is surely enticing to the Texans front office. Signing a healthy Merciless long-term would give the Texans a building block along the defensive line next to the dominant Watt. Oh, boy. They dodged a bullet with that. And you can say what you want about whether you think the Texans should sign Jadeveon Clowney long-term. I mean, I'd much rather have Jadeveon Clowney for the next 5 years than Whitney Merciless. So you may think it's all that they're overextending for that player, but at least he's a player. Whitney Merciless, I don't know what he is.
Well, 2 years ago, that was a real conversation.
You're right.
And he obviously, well, he got hurt last year, and then this year he just wasn't very effective. So I think, and I wouldn't be shocked if they decide to move on from him.
I wouldn't either.
Because
it would make sense financially to get out of this now.
Yeah, $6.2 million in cap space, which right now they've got plenty of cap space. But for $1 million in dead money hit, that's pretty good. So I think that's if you decide you're bringing back Clowney, I don't know that you need Whitney Merciless on this team.
I don't think so either. And it's almost a lock that they're going to bring him back in some
at least on the franchise tag for a year. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. But I really think that they need to, because realistically, the Colts passed them by the end of the year last year.
As far as like who the best team in the division is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And we saw that in the playoff game. So they need to – I think they're close enough, but it's going to take some bold moves. They need to do what, you know, what the Rams tried to do in the offseason, you know, what the Saints have tried to do at times. I mean, I think that this is the time to push them all in and play for next year. And, you know, may not work, just like hey, Brock Osweiler didn't work.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You tried. I think they need to try. But that's just me. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I've got a thing here where I look at who might get tagged for every team. Mm-hmm. And obviously Clowney's the guy for the Texans. And I guess the issue would be, is he an outside linebacker or a defensive end? Because defensive end gets paid a lot more.
Right.
I think he's a defensive end, but I'm not the one.
So that's a weird thing, because I think you just have to go with, you have to count up his snaps,
right,
and see where he played more snaps last year. Like, that should be determines
but
it.
But with a hybrid like that, I mean, sometimes he's down, sometimes.
That's what I'm saying. I know every snap, see where he played in most of those, or in the majority. Even if it's one more, just say, okay, well, you were primarily this.
But if you're standing up outside, that doesn't necessarily make you an outside linebacker either.
To me, if your hand's not on the ground, I think that's linebacker.
I think sometimes a lot of guys like that, they use standing up. I don't know that necessarily makes him a linebacker, but let's...
Here's the other question then. Is there a defensive end in that set, or is he...
He's usually the guy on the outside, yeah.
Of the
sometimes,
three?
Now, sometimes.
So in a 3-4, let's say the Texans typically play a 3-4. Are there three down linemen?
I'd have to go back and look. I know there were a lot of times where they went with four down linemen.
Okay.
Yeah, especially in pass rush situations. Let's... Is that Kevin? Is that what that says?
Yes.
Let's try Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, sports to you.
Hey, sports.
Uh-oh. Oh. Your phone sucks. Better make it fast.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Hey, I was going to ask, what do y'all feel about the whole free agency stuff with baseball? Bryce Harper, batted 250 and everything, and he wants his $10 million, 10-year deal. And, I'm glad the Astros aren't in on doing any of that. But, I think they're both waiting for the other one to sign, so that way they can just say this. But, I know Verlander came out and said something about it's wrong with baseball, but, I just don't agree with any of that, And what do y'all think about all that?
I don't know what he's talking about exactly. He talking about agree with them not paying the top free agents?
I think so, yeah. I think that's.
I'm sorry, man. Your phone sucked. I'm going to be honest. But, I don't think the Astros were ever really in the mix for any of those type of guys. I don't know why. We've talked about this on our show before. I wouldn't be paying these guys 10-year contracts either. And apparently the Padres, from what I've heard, have offered Machado an 8-year deal for really good money, like upwards of $250 million for 8 years. So it's big money. But if I'm him, I don't know what you're waiting for. If that's the offer, then that's a pretty damn good offer. And I guess you have to decide, well, do I want to play for the Padres? Are the Padres going to be competitive? And that's fair.
Yeah, but worse places to live than San Diego, though.
There are way worse places to live. And listen, if you need to decide, and I know Manny Machado was like, well, I want to be a Yankee. Well, that's just not how free agency works. You can't just say, oh, like if you're LeBron James can become a free agent and say, I want to be a Pelican. And the Pelicans will just get rid of everybody and sign LeBron James. Sorry, Manny Machado, you're not that. That's not how it works. And with these guaranteed contracts, that's not how it's going to work. So you gotta decide what's most important to you. And if you really want to be a Yankee, I bet you can. For, $15 million, $20 million a year. But they're not going to pay you $30 million a year because they've got other options.
It's funny because the Phillies their name keeps popping up, and I wonder how serious they are because, they're going to make a big offer to Bryce Harper. And I've been hearing that all winter long, and nothing's happened. So, hey, guys, I have to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers, where you can get a great experience unlike any other mattress store, but you also get comfort. You get great prices. You're saving 50% off of what you would pay if you went to a retail store because they make the mattresses right there and sell them directly to you. They've got this great collection of pocketed coil mattresses, including the Amsterdam, which is used by professional athletes like the Sabercats rugby team. I've got the Athens and the London in my place. Love them both. And the great thing about Texas Mattress Makers is you go and you've all these guys, they know exactly how you sleep. and they're going to be able to put you on the perfect mattress for you. So you're going to save money. You're going to get a great mattress. And believe me, the quality that they put into these things is amazing. Visit them today, the new one at 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, or the original, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Tell them you're a Blitzer. They will take care of you. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Everybody seems to approach this issue from the perspective of, why aren't the clubs signing players? I think there's lots and lots of offers out there, and it's a bilateral process. Players haven't accepted those offers yet. That's how a market works. So, you know, we bargain for a market system. That market's out there operating, and I don't have any choice but to live with that right now.
And
who was that?
That was Commissioner Rob Manfred.
Ah, all right. I mean, he's kind of on to something there. It does go two ways. It's not like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado haven't received offers.
Yeah.
They just haven't taken them.
I kind of find it interesting, though, that I don't really blame teams for not wanting to do these 10-year deals anymore. And you look at how many teams are basically doing the money ball thing and looking for guys who they can get at an affordable rate. I don't think there's any real problem with that. I also think maybe Dallas Keuchel should have taken that one-year tender for $17 million when the
Wouldn't have been the worst idea.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the deal, and this is what you've got to understand when it comes to these contracts. And dynamics of money can change. And what was a prudent contract or was thought to be a prudent contract 10 years ago isn't necessarily the same thing now. So we just assumed that baseball contracts would always go up and up and up and up and up until a baseball player owned the team. But owners have realized, oh, my God, this is getting out of control. At some point, it's got to top off. It's topped off. And so if you say, I mean, even you at your job, just a regular dude at his job, if you go to your boss and you say, all right, I want a raise and I want you to pay me $100,000 a year as whatever job you do out there. I mean, maybe you're an IT guy. You want $100,000 a year. And your boss says, sorry, man, we only pay our IT guys $80,000. And you say, well, I'm worth $100,000. And they say, okay, well, good luck to you. And then you go around to every other employer in the city who hires the guys that do your job, and the max offer you get is $80,000. Guess what? You're worth $80,000, not $100,000. That's just this is pretty simple. This is basic math stuff in the real world. Baseball players just don't seem to understand that it's happening to them. They can't believe it.
Yeah, I do think at some point you're right that there was always going to be a ceiling for this.
Yeah,
and
it had to hit at some point.
And I think from an agent standpoint, you say, all right, well, we're gonna Bryce Harper, we're gonna do a bigger deal than A-Rod had. We're gonna do the biggest one ever. And the reality is, I mean, I don't know that that's out there. And as much as I'd love to have that guy on my team, I wouldn't sign him for more than 5 years. Now, I'd pay him a lot.
Right.
But I think 5 years and $35 million a year would be pretty damn good. But and that's part of it, is I think you want to set records. And you want to say, oh, I got this guy the most money ever, and the next guy I'll get this. But
at some point, there's got to be it becomes not a good enough deal for the, like, it's not worth it to the owner.
Right.
The owner, the point of a business is to profit. And if an owner says, man, if I sign this guy, it's going to have a negative impact on my bottom line, then what's the point? What's the point of this? And you can say to win, but are Manny Machado and Bryce Harper proven winners? Neither one of them have won a damn thing. So you can't, it's again, it's not like basketball where one guy can come in and instantly change a franchise. But if you put Manny Machado on the Padres tomorrow, they're still the Padres. They're a little bit sexier Padres, but they're still the Padres.
Yeah, it would put some butts in the seat.
Maybe. It's Southern California. I don't know if it would.
For a couple weeks, it would.
Oh, yeah. Might sell a few jerseys, but again, all this stuff is calculated by ownership. How much of a bump would this give us from a season ticket sales standpoint? How much hype would there be? How much, how much would we sell? And then, okay, well, is that worth $32 million a year? Looks like it's worth $27 million a year. Well, then what are we doing here?
I do think that there is just because you can do something doesn't mean you necessarily should. Because there's a lot of teams that could afford to pay this guy.
Absolutely.
Almost every team in the league, frankly.
But does it make sense?
Right. And so, hey, as much as it would be nice to have a shiny new toy like Bryce Harper, well, maybe you could do better for your team by spending less in other areas.
Right.
And, and trying to develop your own guys and draft better and do all the things that, frankly, you look at, the Astros' success, I think, is kind of a message to some teams that you can bottom out and then have a team that if you hit on some picks can be competitive pretty quickly.
Even before that, Tampa was a good example.
Yeah,
of that.
Tampa always did a real nice
The Royals
job.
Did the same thing. I mean,
and let's not forget the originals, the A's. They pop up and they're in contention for the playoffs every few years, and they don't spend any money, and nor should they for that garbage pit they play in. But if you can win like that, then if you're the Pirates or the Brewers or one of those teams, you really going to go out and spend a bunch of money to try to compete with the Yankees and Red Sox?
The Brewers made it to the National League Championship Series last year, right?
Yep.
With like what, the 22nd, 23rd highest payroll? I mean, you can do it. You can build these teams that they don't have to be the most expensive team. And look, the Yankees are now competitive, and I'm not saying that they're not spending money, but the Yankees, if I'm not mistaken, and I'd have to look it up, I think the Yankees spent like $40 million less last year than the Red Sox, 40 plus. So baseball is no longer, and I say that, the Red Sox have the biggest payroll and they won. So maybe it does work that way, but not everybody can be the Red Sox. And if the Red Sox say no, and the Yankees say no, and the Cubs say no, well, what are you going to do? I mean, does that mean you're either not going to play baseball or you're going to sign for a more reasonable offer?
The 2019 payroll totals.
Mm-hmm.
Red Sox, $221 million. They're the top one. Cubs, $210. Yankees, $197. And that's the thing. We always talk about, the Yankees are just going to go sign this guy. And they went out and
they've slowed it down.
They went out and got Stanton, but they have slowed it down. It's like, okay, we're paying this guy. But
they spent their money this offseason on pitchers,
which they needed.
Yeah, that's what they did.
So, Dodgers 192.
Which is, that's a good thing to think about. The Yankees, would it have been like the late 90s Yankees would have 100% signed Bryce Harper, because it would have been a big splash and it would have been all over SportsCenter and everybody would be talking about them. Now they realize that's not what's important. If you want to win a championship, we need to add pitching. So we can either get this shiny new toy or we can pay our light bill. And they decided, man, we should probably pay our light bill. And that's what they did.
Well, and here's some teams that spend a lot of money and it hasn't done them any good. Angels, $167 million.
Where are they at?
Giants, $164 million.
Yeah.
Mets, $157 million. Nationals, $157 million. And then you get into Cardinals and Astros at $153 million. But, those are all basically, there's 13 teams that are above the league average, according to this. And that includes the Mariners, the Rockies, and the Phillies are all above the league average. Brewers, below league average. Had a great year last year.
Yeah.
And
by the way, I think I was listening to, God, was it Granato and Lance? This morning they were talking about Yasmani Grandal and how the Astros could have had him. And they were like, yeah, why would you want to play for the Brewers? When you don't have a chance to win a World Series with the Brewers. And I was like, well, the Brewers were just as close as the Astros last year. Yeah. They were the same distance from the World Series. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't think you got a chance to win there. It seems like a pretty good young team to me.
And, again, they're spending decent money, but they're still below the league average.
Yeah.
Not by much.
Because they're prudent with their money.
Yeah.
And most teams you have to be. Like, teams like the Yankees, the Red Sox, they're always – the Dodgers, the Cubs are always going to pull a profit. But – it's not as easy. Baseball is not what it was 25 years ago. It's not just this gigantic money grab where every team is just raking in as much money as they can. It doesn't work that way anymore. Baseball's not as consumed by as many people. The television contracts aren't as great as they once were. It's just it makes sense that they don't pay baseball players more now than they ever have, because baseball's not making as much money as it. And I hate to bring it to this because I bring this up all the time, but it's like when WNBA players say, why aren't we paid like the men? And it's like, well, it's pretty simple. Your game doesn't bring in the same money that the men do. And when baseball players now are saying, why aren't we paid, you know, what they were paid 10 years ago plus inflation? And it's because baseball's not as popular now as it was. If it doesn't bring in as much money, how can you expect to be making more? That's not how economics work.
Go tell Scott Boras that, though.
Well,
because he'll bring a bunch of charts and stuff in here to tell you the exact opposite.
What's going to happen? Is Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, are they going to sit out this year?
No.
No, eventually they're going to say, damn, you know what? Guess you were right. Mike Moustakas, remember, like, right after he was one of the key guys for the Royals winning the World Series. And then he was like, well, guys, it's been real. The Royals were like, well, we can't offer you a big contract. He's like, all right, well, I'm just going to go strike out on my own and you know, get a deal what I'm actually worth. And it looked like he was poised to get a big deal. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute. Nobody's offering big money? What's going on here? So what did he do? Put his tail between his legs and sulked back to the Royals, took a one-year deal, and then he went and signed for cheap with the Brewers.
Yeah, the one that's interesting to me is Keuchel, because I just don't know that anybody's going to give a guy his age with his stuff a long-term deal.
I don't think so either.
And you really shouldn't.
So take a 2 or 3 year deal for higher dollars. But these guys are so spoiled by this endless job security. And it's almost like, I know I'm going to break. I just want to get paid for these last two broken years without having to do anything. Come on, man. Just get your money while you can.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey Houston, this is Tony Kent with the Houston Astros, and you're listening to the number one sports show in Houston, The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Rodney sent me this MLB revenue story for 2018. And while interesting, there's a couple of things in it that basically 16th straight year, they saw record gross revenues, which of course that doesn't really tell you the story.
Right.
But still, it saw gate revenues flat for 2018 and television revenues were largely flat because there were no significant deals kicking in. Sponsorship revenues were up. So, but they've got this, they're going to have a deal with DAZN. Fox's new extension kicks in 2022, so they'll have more money then. Although at some point, if I'm these TV stations, I'm not paying that kind of money for this product.
I'm not either. But how many people are watching?
Well, they watch the World Series.
Yeah.
But interesting. Let's squeeze in a call. Chase, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, guys. It's a two-parter. I'm sorry about this. But Breaking Bad movie. I think these Netflix executives might be looking long-term. Is there any chance that they've used this Breaking Bad movie to launch a Jesse Pinkman solo series? And the second part, can you guys see a Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey in the flesh cameo next Sunday on the True Detective finale?
I would be surprised if we saw that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what the plan is for Breaking Bad prequels. It's all come as kind of a new thing to me.
Yeah, I have zero interest in a Jesse Pinkman spinoff of any kind. I just never found his character interesting or likable.
Nope.
Or entertaining. So, other than that, yeah, it's cool. I don't know if you saw this, but the cast list for the first Game of Thrones episode leaked.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of like Edmure Tully is apparently back, which Robin Aaron, who I don't know if he's still suckling, but I know mom's dead, but maybe he's suckling on something else. But according to this, the actor who plays the Night King, not in the first episode.
Interesting.
Which seems very strange to me.
Yeah.
Because I would assume that now that they're actually past the wall, we'd kind of jump right in with some Night King ass kicking.
You would think.
713-780.
Maybe he died in the offseason and they're just not, he's not going to be part of the last season.
No, because he's going to win. I'm ready for him to win the
whole
thing.
Don't you love when people are blowing you up during the show?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those damn automated calls, too. I don't know the number. I have no idea who it is.
The worst.
And they don't leave a message, so oh well. Yeah, I'm so excited for that. We're not that far away, man.
No.
And
well, relatively, I guess.
But there's only six episodes.
Yeah.
So it's going to go by quick. Yeah, I didn't realize that there's only, including the one last night that I haven't seen yet, there's only two True Detectives left.
Yeah.
So be interesting to see how they wrap that up. That show's been solid this year.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. I had a bunch of TV news to get to at some point, but I do have one AAF story for you that I think you'll find entertaining. It's a little misleading, like most of these stories are. But your San Antonio Commanders, they had more fans than the Los Angeles Chargers did on average.
Jeez.
27,857 came out to see the Chargers. See the Commanders.
Well.
Which is why I know the stadium's not that great, but I wonder why San Antonio wasn't an option for 1 year for the Raiders.
I think they thought about it, but I don't know. I mean, that stadium is as soon as they built it, it was basically outdated as an NFL stadium.
Yeah.
They just did a poor job of planning. They were like, when you build a new stadium now, everybody's like, okay, what can we do to make this the stadium of the future?
Right.
And San Antonio was like, well, we can't really afford the stadium of the future, so let's just make like a middle of the road now stadium. And then they did. And by the time it got built, it was like, back of the line now stadium. Yeah. So it was poor decision making by San Antonio.
The average attendance for a Chargers home game, 25,336. So,
oof.
And they did 29,000 for the second Commanders game. So they're off to a nice start there.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And, they did do a good job with the Saints when the Saints had to play there.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of think it would be cool to have it for, 1 year.
I think UTSA still plays there, too. I know they were planning on building a stadium for UTSA, but.
Yeah, they don't need a stadium.
There's no point now. Just play there.
Yeah. Let's squeeze in one more call. Reed, go.
Yeah, you know, I was watching True Detective, and this season to me has been great too. But I want to see what you guys thought about Stephen Dorff. I mean, I've always known him as the cheesy Blade villain, you know, and to me, he's absolutely killing it in this series. It's something that might like revive his career, make him somebody. And I don't know. I'm enjoying him. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about him.
Yeah, I think he's doing a good job too. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Stephen Dorff's career really was before this. Like, was he?
He was the cheesy Blade guy.
I mean, is that it?
That's basically what I remember him from.
I mean, I'm trying to think of if I can think of another thing he's been in, and I can't. So, but I also, I mean, I know Stephen Dorff's name, and as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, I know that's Stephen Dorff. But I can't think of anything other than Blade that he's been in. That can't be true.
Oh, he's been in. I'm sure it's just not something that. He was in. Boy, I don't recognize any of this stuff.
See?
Wow.
Nothing, right?
No. He's been in a bunch of stuff, just nothing that I would. Okay,
that's,
he was.
That's weird.
He was in Public Enemies. I don't remember him in that.
I don't either.
Yeah, this is,
You know who he was? He's famous for being, what's her name? Britney Spears' boyfriend in one of her videos and Alicia Silverstone's boyfriend in the crying video that Aerosmith did.
Ah,
but that was, I mean, when was
that? That's a long time
think
ago.
About when that was.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like 12 when Crying came out. So it's been a long time.
Wow. I'm looking at his IMDb. This guy's, I mean, he's done a bunch of stuff, just none of it any good.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.